You are about to listen to Emeka Ezra, the lead steward at Fortier Network International. He envisions all men saved and mature in Christ Jesus. Be stirred as you listen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, I'm just seeing a lot of people saying, I can give words of knowledge, I can prophesy now, and it's so beautiful to see. And this is like the predictable outcome of prayer. Like you can predict it, that if you pray long enough, if you make prayer a habit, these things will come easy to you. Praise God. These things will come easy to you. Okay, let's open scripture. We are going to be talking about prayer. Back to the basics. You know, a lot of people now have a definition of what prayer is. Because born has grown, we have to go back to the basics, and we will keep going back to the basics, because a master or someone that's an expert is someone that can handle the basic things of that topic in which is an expert in. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're going to be talking about what is prayer, why should we pray, why we don't see answers in prayer, and why do we have to pray long? Why do we also have to pray in tongues? We're just going to be seeing, this is going to be very short, and then we go back to prayer. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I can't help but feel sad and sorry for the people that come and they're seeing everybody speaking in tongues, and they're just, what is happening here, Holy Spirit? Or what is going on here? My friend just said we should just come and hang out, and we are here for 6 hours praying. Why is this person wicked? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's open scripture. Let's see Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 from verse 27 to 28. You see, when we talk, as you open scripture, when we talk about prayer, a lot of people have like definitions about what prayer is. Some people will say, or most people will say, prayer is communication between man and God, which is basically true. Basically, it is true that prayer is communication between man and God. But the question is there any instance in which prayer could be more than just communication? That is what we want to look at. Is there any instance in scripture where prayer could be more? And what we are going to be doing today is something I've taught you people over and over again about how to study when it comes to topical studies in scripture. When you want to study a topic in scripture, you go back to the beginning. You want to see how that topic was, or that topic was being used, or people that thought about that topic, or talked about that topic, or did what you want to study about. We had an example when it came to faith. When we were doing a study on faith, we looked at faith from the beginning, the men that walked in faith, so that we wanted to have a holistic view on what faith is. It's the same thing we want to do this morning. We want to see what prayer is. And if we want to see what prayer is, we'll start from the beginning. We start from Adam. We go down from Adam to his son Seth. We go down to Abraham, Jacob, Noah, anybody that communicated with God. Something we see, a similarity we see when we look at all of these men, is that all of these men that communicated with God on God's terms and not on their own terms. Are you listening to me? Something we see when we look at all of these men is that these men communicated with God, but not on their terms. It was on the terms of God. Not for their sake or for their belly, but for the sake of God. Meaning, when we see communication with God throughout the Old Testament, we see that it was God's purpose that he wanted to fulfill. That is why men spoke with God. Or that was why God spoke with men. Let us read. We just mentioned names. Jacob, Isaac, these are men that worked with God. All right, these are men that worked with God. Jacob, in particular, I want us to read something, and we'll just pin it, because we would explain something. Genesis chapter 32, verse 27 to 28. Can we read together? Genesis chapter 27, version. Let us use... People don't like reading together. Genesis chapter 32. They don't 32. Oh, sorry. Genesis chapter 32 from verses 27 to 28. You see why I want it with my head? Praise God. Let's look at that. So let's read together. NKJV, preferably. Should we use NKJV? No. Let's use NLT. Let's use NKJV. Genesis chapter 32. 3, 2, 1. There's something I want to bring out. That's why I'm looking at the versions in my head. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, praise God. You see, I don't know if you've been to churches or we've seen people that whenever they want to talk about prayer, this is one of the scriptures they attack first or they use. And it most likely ends up this way. They tell you to wrestle with God. They tell you to wrestle with God. This is not the place in which we do Bible study on that. But there's something I want to bring out here. And we're going to just pin it somewhere. Scripture, I say Jesus. That's under study. But the being that Jacob wrestled with said that you have prevailed with God and with man. You have prevailed with God and with man. This is very important when we talk about prayer. So let's pin it, because we're going to talk about it. You see, one of the first points when we look at prayer is that prayer, obviously, like I said, is not about man but about God. And also, prayer is made specifically from a particular kind of place. I'm going to explain. The first thing you need to learn about prayer is that prayer is about the person praying and about the place he's praying from. I would explain. Let's go to John chapter 4. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 from verse 19 to 24. John chapter 4, I'm not going to make that mistake again. John chapter 4 from verse 19 to 24. I need another mic. I need someone that is loud and wants to read for me. John chapter 4. Tommy, you prefer it actually. John chapter 4 from verse 19 to 24. Let's use NKJV.
The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Mm-hmm. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Praise God. See, there's something called sacred space. I'm going to teach the next powder is going to be something. It's going to be a little bit different. I don't think I'm even going to stream that powder. That powder, I'm going to teach something called Sons of God and Ministry. There's something called sacred space. Right? And this is what Jesus is talking about. He met a Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan woman said, "Oh, the Jews say you can only worship God in Jerusalem." He said, "Our fathers have worshipped God here." And Jesus looked at the woman and said, "You know not what you worship. Why? Because salvation has been given to the Jews. True salvation." Let's open that scripture. I don't paraphrase. Can someone give me their Bible or something? From phone. Yes, they are giving it to me. So he says, "I perceive that you are a prophet." He says, "Our fathers worshipped in these mountains." And the Jew says, "And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship." This is what's happening here. Something is what we call sacred space. In the sense that in the Old Testament, Yahweh had a space. And if you were not in that space, you could not worship Yahweh. I know I'm calling him Yahweh. And this is the reason, because outside the camps, outside Jerusalem, you saw other nations that had other gods presiding over them. We see this in the Old Testament when Israel had been conquered, right? Daniel wanted to pray, and in Daniel's prayer, we see the prince of Greece and the prince of Persia stopping the answers to his prayer. I'm going too far. Trust me. All of these things need explanation. But from that, we can see that there's something called sacred space. That is a place in which prayer was meant to be made to God. But Jesus said there's a time coming when you need that, you don't need to be in Jerusalem to make or offer prayer to God. And that time is now. Praise God. That time is now. In which we are in Nigeria and praying to Yahweh. We are in Nigeria and we are praying to God. This could not have happened in the Old Testament. There is no way you will be in Nigeria and you say that you are serving Jesus. Or you're serving Yahweh. It was not possible. And this was because of something theologians call sacred space. Are you listening to me? So when we talk about prayer, the first thing we talk about first is that prayer is not about you, it's about the will of God. That's one. Two, prayer is about the person praying. Why? Because God has changed the battleground from sacred spaces to your heart. Eden is no more a place. I am the... Are you listening to me? So Jerusalem is no more a place that can... That's the only place that God will hear you from. You have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? So now you can lift up prayers. You can pray. You can pray anywhere you are. Who has a question? I feel like you have a question. You're looking at me like... Do you have a question? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? I should come again. So, the first thing about prayer is that prayer is not about God. Sorry, prayer is not about man. It's about God. It's about his purpose. It's about his will. When we look at all the men that have walked with God, we see one thing, that they communicated with God because God wanted to do something on the earth. Are you listening to me? That is one. Two, prayer is about the person praying, in the sense that not just any kind of person in any kind of place can offer prayer. And I explain it in this way. This way I'm coming from. I'm not saying that unbelievers cannot pray for them to receive salvation. Listen to me. I'm coming from the point where in the Old Testament, prayer could only be offered in a place. Are you listening to me? Prayer could only be offered in Jerusalem. If you wanted Yahweh to hear you, it's only in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, a time is coming. That time he's talking about that is coming. It's now. That you will offer prayers to God anywhere. Right? Because why? He's spirit. Let's read that scripture again. You're looking at me like, let's read that scripture again. I want us to finish that scripture. I said 19 to 24, right? Give me a moment to open the scripture that I am with. I shouldn't have even gone this far, safe. This is actually meant to be for spouse. That's where I have like 4 hours or 6 hours to explain what I'm saying. But I needed you to understand something. But I want you to understand something. Sorry. Okay, praise God. Jesus says, believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you will worship the Father. I'm reading from verse 21. Where you will worship the Father, neither on a mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart. Can you see that? Say in your heart. Say, God resides in my heart now. The presence of God, he resides in me. So you don't need Jerusalem. You don't need to travel to Israel to pray to God now. Glory to God. Is that not good? Do you understand? That is what has happened because of salvation. Because of salvation, we can offer up prayers and we are sure that God is hearing us. That is the reason why I said this. I'm saying this because some people pray and they wonder, is God hearing me? I'm showing you from scripture that you would pray and God will hear you because you are a believer. Because the Holy Spirit resides on your inside. You would pray and you will not have the same issue that Daniel had when he prayed, that an angel or a prince stopped his prayer, because the Holy Ghost resides on your inside. This is holy ground. Emeka is holy ground. And Emeka prays, Yahweh answers immediately. Oh my God, we see Jesus is so cool. We see Jesus. You know, Jesus will just stay and he will thank the Father. And he will thank him out loud. And God will answer immediately. And he did that, not for anything, just so that everybody will know that he can talk to God and God will answer. So cool. Like, And he did that often. You see, his prayer was different. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. You know, when you want to study faith, you want to study purpose, if you study every other person and you don't study Jesus, you are wrong. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 from verse 1 to 13. Let's see. I am fire. I am light. I am glory. It is supernatural. Praise God. It says, one day, as Jesus was in prayer, one of his disciples came over to him as he finished. Sorry. 11:1, right? No, don't worry. I'm going to open another version, please. I don't want you to see that version. Let's use NLT. I didn't want you to use that version. It says, Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. Let me tell you, prayer can be taught. Are you listening to me? There is a how to pray. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus says, this is how to pray. You see, what Jesus is doing here is called a teaching on prayer. But a lot of people took what is a template and made it a recitation. That's the word. A recitation after eating, a recitation before pray, after praying. So it's like, okay, we have finished praying the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. But it's a teaching on prayer, on the purpose of prayer and what it's meant to do and how it's meant to change us. Look at what he said here. He says, this is how you should pray. He says, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. And this is talking about the purpose of prayer. That prayer is not about you. Prayer is not to bring your purpose to pass. Prayer is to bring the kingdom of God to fruition. And this is the same thing I told you, that when you look at the people that have lived with God, that have walked with God, you see one thing. It was never about them. Someone should help people coming. It was never about them. It was about the kingdom of God. So I know you came for born, right? And you came to pray to God for a job, or you came praying for an SUV. But is that the will of God for you? I know you came to pray, you know, Lord, I need healing. The question is healing the will of God for you? Yes, it is. That's a very good answer. Yes, it is. Healing is the will of God for you. But the question is, in what context? Are you listening to me? In what context? When we look at the people that have lived throughout Scripture, especially the Old Testament, even the New Testament, we see one thing. The context of their lives were in salvation. To bring about Jesus, the salvific message of God and everything, their life exemplified it. That was the reason why prayers were answered. Men were made prophets. Men were made kings. This was the reason for their lives. This was the reason why they communicated with. They did not just communicate with God because they wanted to become rich. I'm teaching you the basics of prayer, because a lot of you have abused prayer to the point you come to God and the only thing I'm asking for is, Lord, my CGPA is down, Jesus. We pray like that. I remember, hey God, exam, our chapel will be filled up. The stage, oh, it's called stage. The others, they will call it altar. You will see people after every exam, they will just come and kneel down. Jesus, you are failing that year in the name of Jesus. So it was just, you abuse prayer and bring prayer down to something that a Muslim can get with just sheer diligence and competence. Yeah, that's not what prayer is. If we go back to the basics, if we say prayer is about answering your needs, what about a man that has all he wants? Are you saying that he doesn't have to pray anymore? Are you getting me? Prayer is more than what you have reduced it to. And this is what Jesus is saying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I know you're going to say something. You're going to say, but sir, Jesus also said, give us this day our daily bread. Doesn't that mean that prayer is also to for our needs? But no, my dear, no. This teaching on prayer was never even about meeting the daily bread. Was talking about him, the word. Was not even talking about your physical bread. So I'm so sorry, I'm not doing enough study on, I'm not doing enough explanation on this. But I want you to go back. I want you to read your letters in context again. And you see that when he uses bread, he's not talking about, he was never. So for God to give you a physical bread, I mean, why are you praying for that when somebody on the street can give you a physical bread? See, you need to think more. God wants to do something in you. You know, one of the fathers of the faith in this nation, there's a way his sermons always start whenever you're listening to it. I love it so much. God doesn't want to give you a, how does it even start? God doesn't want to give you a car. God wants to give you the word. He doesn't want to give you an, he wants to give you a word in your spirit. See, I use his sermons to exercise. See, and it's the truth. God is not after giving you money. He wants to give you the word in your spirit. The will of God is not that you build a mansion. It's not, I'm telling you, it's not a scripture. Does that mean people have not used this same prayer to get material possession? No. Yes, like people have used it, but in a context. God blesses in a context. He blesses men in a context, and that context is salvation. That context is salvation. If, what's your name, ma? Jennifer. If Jennifer is going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, she has to be rich, right? She has to be wealthy. Am I correct?
Yes.
She needs a car. Am I correct?
Yes.
Because she needs to travel to different nations, she needs an airplane. Am I correct? It's a need. It's because of salvation. It's not because of your personal selfish needs. There's a purpose to how God gives or why God gives. If God is to give people healing, there's a reason. Oh my God. See, God is God-centered. He's not you-centered. And that is prayer also. That prayer is God-centered. When we see scripture in the New Testament, we see that the disciples ministered. They said the disciples ministered unto God, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work in which I have sent them." He was talking about my work, not their own work. So the believer becomes God-centered. When the believer becomes God-centered in prayer, the believer begins to walk in the prophetic. The believer begins to walk in revelatory gifts. In fact, I mean, look at scripture. God is saying, "How can I do a thing without telling my friend Abraham?" Hey, this is not because Abraham had his own plan with God. It's because Abraham had solely given himself out to God. I'm teaching you how to get your answer, how to get answers in prayer. This is what I'm teaching you, how to get answers in prayer. Let's open to John. I want to show you something. Let's open to John. This is becoming too long. Oh, Kale Pratu, same. Before we open to John, let's see. Same Luke chapter 11 from verse 9. Same Luke from verse 11, chapter 11 from verse 9. Look at it here. He says, "And so I tell you, keep on asking, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receives." Man of God, please sit here. You're welcome. He says, "For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open." Praise God. I am forgetting. I just want to honor Pastor Charles that is here. Praise God. Can we just clap for him? Praise God. A lot of people take that scripture out of context. They say, "Knock and you find. Knock and the door will open unto you. Seek and you find." And you see everybody seeking. Seeking for what you know lost. So, you see people asking for things that they will never get. You will see them asking for things they will never get, and they will come and tell you, "Ah, my guy, I don't think prayer works." Let's open to James. Let's see what James had to say about it. James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. I want us to echo that like a mass choir, like an army. James chapter 4, verse 3. If you're there, tell me you're there. Yes, any NLT. Let's use NLT. James chapter 4, verse 3. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh my God. Can we repeat that again? I think it hit somebody's heart. It hit your heart, Abby. Let's see that again. 3, 2, 1, go. Read it out. look at that. See, even good things will not come to you without the right motives. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, let the nations know you. And God knows this guy wants to be a star. He wants to be a star. He wants fame. Okay, God will keep you there for 10 years praying. You will pray that prayer until your heart changes. You say, Lord, I want a marital partner. But it's because you want to show us. God will give you somebody that's in the house. In the house, you will suffer. Then the house, you will still show us. See, oh my God, when we talk about prayer, it's about motive. The first thing that happens to the believer in prayer is that your heart begins to change. Let me tell you, you can enter prayer with the wrong motive, but in prayer, let God work on your heart to receive that thing. Oh my God, I'm now talking like my pastor. So in prayer, you can have, or God works in your heart. And I'm saying this because a lot of people might say, oh, I have the wrong motive. It's not yet time for me to pray. That's not true. You see, in prayer, as you enter prayer, you come with, you want to ask God for a nation or a state. Let me just give you a practical example. And probably there is somewhere in your heart that is saying, Lord, if you give me 1,500, 3,000 people in your name, I will glorify. But in your heart somewhere, you know that that is for selfish reasons. You want to take a picture and say, and people say, man of God, glory to God. It's growing. You know, you want to probably cast out a demon, or you want to heal the sick. And that's because you want to post it and you want people to say, ah, pro papa. Or something like that. But you see, as you enter prayer, what God begins to do is God exposes you. God makes you naked before Him. But what people do is they fight it. They fight the exposure of God. And they resist it. So you now see people coming out of prayer and they are not changed. And they are wondering, why is God not answering my prayer? I learned this while I was in university in 200 level. When I saw it in John, and I said, if I can just become like Jesus, everything will be answered. And then that was when I understood that prayer is alignment. Prayer is communication, yes, but something in communication brings alignment, in the sense that when I know her heart and I align, I become. It's the same thing with God. As we pray, the Holy Spirit says, this is my will, this is what I want you to do. I align. Prayer is alignment. Say prayer is alignment. Prayer is not about the things I want to ask for. Prayer is alignment. Let's see John chapter 15. John chapter 15 from verse 7 to 8. John chapter 15 from verse 7 to 8. John chapter 15 from verse 7 to 8. Shukata brata kabaila shubrede vinamaya. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord is healing someone with an ear problem. On one side, you've been having issues with your ear. The Lord is healing you right now. John chapter 15, from verse 7 to 8. Let's read. Like a mass choir, 3, 2, 1, go. Praise God. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask whatever and it will be given unto you. So one of the rules of prayer is the word. See, a friend of mine told me something. He says, when you follow the Spirit, you will meet the word. When you follow the word, you will meet the Spirit. What he was trying to say was this. When you read the word of God, there is no way you will not hit power and prayer. And if you pray so much, you are a prayer guy. That's what he was trying to say. You're a prayer man. You will still meet the word. Because you need it. You need to know the will of God for you to pray accordingly. God will not answer a prayer that is not His will. God is God-centered. I'm saying this now. God is God-centered. God, give me a job. You know, a friend of mine was invited to preach in the beginning of the year. Sorry, crossover service. And in the beginning of the crossover service, he asked people, why should you be alive this year? I said, this guy, why do you ask this question? He said, why should you be alive this year? Why should God keep you alive? Very simple question. Why should God keep you alive? You're praying for life, but why should God keep you alive? You've never opened your mouth to push His cause. Why should He push your own cause? What are you living for? This is what the scripture is talking about. Alignment with God. And as you align, you come before the sea. The sea gives way. Because why? you bear his name in you. You have aligned to his will. You talk to sickness, sickness disappears. Because you have aligned. It's alignment. That's what prayer does. Prayer aligns the believer with the will of God. Prayer aligns the believer with the will of God. Prayer aligns the believer with the will of God. Prayer is not about time. That's the next one. Prayer is not about time. Give your neighbor a nudge. Say, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Praise God. Say, prayer is not about time. Prayer is about the work done. Prayer is not about time. Prayer is about the work done. See, if the work is not done, the prayer is not over. So when we talk about why do we pray long, the question is, have you finished the work? You're coming, Lord, make my heart look like yours. And you're in prayer. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. And you say, thank you, Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord. You've not finished. See, let me tell you something. There's something called waiting. You will wait. It's called perseverance in prayer. You're a lot of young people. I don't know whether it's the truth. I don't believe it is the phone, because I bet you a lot of you listen to long podcasts, watch long videos, watch movies that are 2 hours, 3 hours. But there's just something in prayer that there's a haste in your spirit. There's just a haste. You must kill it. Some of you need to off your phone. And when you are praying and you're just feeling like, check it. You say no. Your body is still doing check it. You say you kill haste in prayer. Just so that the work will be done. Are you listening to me? Prayer is about work done, not alignment can take time. The first hour of prayer or just 2 hours in prayer, you might just be praying so that you get into the prayer. The prayer might be in the third hour, and this is how prayer works. The prayer might not even be the first hour or the second hour. It might be the third hour. That's where you know that you are praying. And in that minute or in that hour, maybe 5-10 minutes enough, and you're done, the work is done. But getting there took time. Getting there took labor. Getting there took a time of waiting. Are you learning something here? And this is the reason why we pray long. Because when we pray long, God broods on us for long. We become like him. That prayer first works in the believer before it works for the believer. Do you understand? So you cannot be wicked and you say you have a prayer life. It's a very big contradiction. You'll be shouting, you're making noise. You are wicked. You don't, what is that? You don't love your neighbor and you say you have a prayer life. Praise God. I want to show something. And we end. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. From 37 to 46. I think I'll open that so that I will jump. Matthew chapter 26 from verse 37. Praise God. And I'm going to show something that looks like waiting. Praise God. I'm going to show an example of waiting. This is Jesus at Gethsemane. Look at it here. He says, he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. Do you know where I'm reading from? 37. Verses 37. Now, I'm in verse 38. He said, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. He said, stay here and keep watch with me. He said, pray with me. Now, he went a little farther and bowed his face to the ground, praying. He says, Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Can you see how God entered prayer? Can you see how God entered prayer? God became man and God prayed. They did not bore you not to pray. If Jesus prayed, who are you? And even Jesus did not even have the right heart at the beginning of prayer, because he did not want to do the will of God at first. You didn't see that way, Abby? And this was happening in prayer. This is what I just told you. He's entering prayer. And look at when the work was done. He came out again after praying for a long time. Right? He came out again and he said, this is verse 40. And he returned and he found the disciples sleeping. And obviously he told Peter, why can't you watch with me 1 hour? And he went back to pray. Scripture says, for the spirit is willing, he was talking about the disciples, and he left there for the second time and prayed, my father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. Are you seeing? He's at the point, but now his heart is changing. Can you see how his heart is changing? This is verse 42. When he returned to them again, this after praying for long, he found them sleeping. Verse 44, so he went to pray the third time. I have explained prayer like this. I've explained prayer like a tree, right? The issue is a tree. It might be alignment, and prayer is like an axe. And you take it and you strike it until the tree falls, the job has not been done. And this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus has done it for three times. He's praying, he took a break, and he came to look for disciples. Disciples are sleeping. He went again to pray. He came again. But let me tell you what was done in prayer. Let us open to Luke chapter 22. Because in Matthew, we don't know exactly how it happened, but in Luke explains how it happened. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 43-44. Look at it here. It says, then the angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. This is what happened in prayer. Oh my God. Jesus was praying. His heart was not, he did not want to die for you. Yes, now. Because it was painful. And this is the reason he didn't want to die for you. He was with God. He was friends with God. He was going to become an enemy of God because of you. So, and that's why people don't understand eternal life. Jesus was not willing to give it up for the whole world at first. But it was the will of the Father, because the life he dropped, he could pick back. Look at it here. Then the angel of the Lord, and then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony in the spirit that sweat fell to the ground like great droplets of blood. This is prayer. Until the work is done. It's not a show of time. After that, his enemies came, and he says, this is the hour and the time has come. My guys, my friends, please pray. Are you listening to me? We are going to pray. I beg you, let your heart be there. Let your heart be there. Your heart might not be there now, but in prayer, make sure there is alignment. Make sure as the Lord reveals your heart to you, you begin to make right the errors. Are you listening to me? Is anybody here that cannot speak in tongues? Anybody here that cannot speak in tongues? Because I want us to open to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We are going to read. Tom, you cannot speak in tongues. We have a question. Let's open Romans chapter 8, verse 26 first. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I beg you to not run away, my friends, as we pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Are you here? Are you there? 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, wow. I want to give an example. Something happened to me at the beginning of the year. I think God allowed it to happen to me, actually. I think God allowed it to happen to me. What happened was this. I found myself, how did I put it? I found myself not depressed, but I was so sad that I was at the bottom of my bed, and I was asking the Holy Ghost, what is happening to my heart? I have money. Like, literally, this is how I look at it. I have money. I have friends. I don't even know the problem in my heart. Like, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. What's happening to me, Holy Spirit? What's going on? I'm praying. My prayer life is at an all-time high. What's happening? And the Holy Spirit said, open your Bible and read. He didn't give me any particular verse. I opened my scripture and I read. And as I was reading, I found out that those thoughts left. See, let me tell you, I hate competition. So it wasn't. I was wondering why I was at a moment and in time being discouraged. I don't easily get discouraged. I'm a very optimistic person, naturally, even without the Spirit. But then with the Spirit, there is joy and there is optimism. So, like, I was wondering what is going on. And I asked the Holy Spirit, say, open your scripture and read. I read my scripture. And as I read the scripture, those thoughts left. Then just like that, the Lord told me that A lot of people are going to be having suicidal thoughts. Right? People that were never suicidal. A lot of people are going to be discouraged. People that normally do not get discouraged. They have the money, they have the resources, but this is what's going to happen to them. And in a week, I had like 4 or 5 cases like that. See, with the spirit, you can pray in tongues, you might not know the issue, but God will reveal it to you. Are you listening to me? That you can be stuck. You don't know what is happening. You don't know how to maneuver the devil. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. I said that because there are people like that here. There are people like that here. You've been having suicidal thoughts. Maybe not suicidal thoughts. You've been discouraged of late. And you don't even know why. Because probably your grades are good. You have friends. You don't just know why you're sad. Are you listening to me? Oh my God, as we pray. Oh, they tell him, man. As we pray, thoughts will disappear. Are you listening to me? Those thoughts will disappear. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 26 together loudly as we can. 3, 2, 1, go. Can you go down a bit? Just the next verse again. There's this song.
It is the honor of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to reveal it.
Sorry.
It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to reveal it. I am a king, oh, a king. In this kingdom of priests and kings, I am a king, oh, a king. I have the spirit of Christ in me. I am a priest, oh, a priest. In this kingdom of kings and priests, I am a priest.